When we're talking about a series about our mental health, we run to the same Savior that conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I know that this is a sensitive thing, and I know that this is something that a lot of churches don't tackle. It's kind of like, you know, we're quick to get on the subject of lust and greed and, you know, those kind of things. But let me tell you, when it comes to the subjects of anxiety and stress and fear and depression, they're in the Bible just as much. And I think the more that we don't address these issues, the more they grow in the church, the more people step back thinking, I'm the only one, or something's wrong with me, or why can't I get victory? Why can't I change my way of thinking? Why is this so complicated for me? And I just want to address this topic and help us understand. Today, we're going to start with the topic of anxiety, and we're going to be rolling this over into next week as well. And this issue is out of control. It really is. And I can show statistically that it has grown and it has become more and more of an issue in its all ages. People of all ages are saying and having this common phrase, I'm so stressed out. I did a series with the teens a number of years ago, and I had the opportunity for, while we were waiting for Pastor Bryce to come, I had an opportunity to work with our teens, and we did a thing about just struggles that they were going through. One of the top things that they put on the list is dealing with anxiety. You're going to tell me that like teenagers don't deal with anxiety. Let me tell you, teenagers today deal with more stuff than we ever imagined when we were teenagers. Yep. It's a different world. There is stress, there is pressures, the world is way different place. And for us to write these things off and not understand these things, it is an idea of there's an inner feeling of losing control or something that is wrong. And then let me tell you guys that life is going to get crazy at times. It is. It's just the world that we live in. It shouldn't be unexpected when we get through these things, like facing an exam at school, or you're starting a new job, or you're waiting for test results, or something's wrong with somebody that you love or whatever. And it changes your way of thinking. You know that something is wrong. And it's important that we understand that life is complicated. This world is messed up. Life is a struggle. Life is difficult. But let me tell you that we should not fall apart when life gets hard. We shouldn't be so fragile that we take steps back and things like, I'll never get through this, or life is just too much right now. We shouldn't fall apart. We should teach our kids how to handle life. We've got to teach our kids how to handle life. And I know this is complicated for us because we're out to protect them and try to be ahead of them. One day they're going to get a job and they're going to work with people in their job that are not going to treat them fair. But working a job is part of life. And we can't just quit the job every time somebody hurts our feelings. We've got to learn how to handle life. We've got to learn that it is difficult. We've got to understand that complications are going to be part of every job and every relationship and everything that you ever have. It is part of this. I heard it said by Pastor Bryce, shared me with this quote. He said, we've got to learn to prepare our kids for the road ahead because you can't prepare the road for your kids. You can't. People in life will treat you wrong. The Bible tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know why it's said to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Because there's going to be hardness in life. There's difficulties in life. But he says you've got to learn to fight it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That you've got weapons. You've got to be prepared for it. You've got to go into this with the mindset of understanding that it is not easy. Paul told the church, he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do you know why he said to be strong in the Lord? Because you are not strong in of yourself to handle these issues. I'll say it, you will fall apart with the issues of this life. And it's not just, I'm telling you, it's not just a job, or it's not just school, it's not just the bullying issues that we have, it's not just the economy. It can be just simply being married. It's not easy. Things don't always go your way. Finances aren't going to always go your way. Your checking account's not always going to have money. Your taxes are going to be a raise. You're going to go through times where insurance changes and those kind of things. We've got to learn to stand up and fight back and know that we're in a battle. We've got to learn to push back. There are Christians here that live in a constant state of defeat. There are people watching online right now that are in a constant state of defeat. And it doesn't have to be that way. And when you do, it affects us mentally, physically, and emotionally, just that I feel like everything is falling apart. I feel like I have nothing to hold on to. I'm so frustrated. I'm so overwhelmed. You can't be the parent or a spouse that you need to be if you're constantly consumed with anxiety. We've got to stop accepting it as the norm. When you live in a constant state of anxiety, it will lead you to depression. Your minds weren't made to be in that constant state of alert or constant state that something is wrong or I'm not going to handle this or what if things fall apart or I'm not going to get through this. And our minds get that paranoid feeling that things are just going to fall apart. I'm going to tell you guys right now that I am not a therapist, not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. And what I can do is I can give you truth. And I'm going to tell you right now at the end of this, we're going to lead to this, that there is truth, but then there's some levels that you need to go to other people to help you find the truth. And I'm not going to be one that just say, I'm going to give you a verse and you're going to walk out of here and everything's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you that there is Christian therapists, there are Christian leaders, there is life group leaders, there is parents in here that can help you and you need to get help. These issues go deeper than us just doing a Bible study on one Sunday. But I think for some people, you need to understand what the Bible says because the Bible has an action path, action plan. Take your Bibles right now to the book of Philippians. You got to take your Bible because I asked them not to put this on the screen, okay? And sometimes I think we get so used to the screen. If you're going through the notes on our app right now, and all these notes are on the Church Center app, if you get on that first page, the home page, and go back down, it will say sermon notes. It's right in there. But I want to show you what I'm going to be preaching next Sunday and why this is so important. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you say, what does that have to do with this? Let's keep reading. Let me show you that this is all tied together. This verse connects to the other verse. Let your moderation, let your compassion, let your gentleness be known unto all men. Know that you have a responsibility to share the virtues, the goodness, and the characteristics of God with other people, for the Lord is at hand. God is involved in the circumstances. God knows, God cares. The hand of God is intervening into the problems of man. Be careful for nothing, or to have your cares fully, or be filled with the cares of this world. It is the same word for be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen to this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your what? Mind. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are a good report and lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's going to be any virtue, if there's going to be any praise, you've got to think on these things. You've got to learn how to think. We've got to learn to reprogram our minds. We've got to learn what the Bible says about these things. And to be honest, I'm going to take this and make that our action plan the next week. But today, I want to just expose this issue of anxiety, and I'm going to give you biblical illustrations of this. And when talking about our mental health, Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, who is a prophet of God, he said, this is how he felt. And some of you'd say, man, that sounds like my life verse. I understand what he means by this. He's talking and he's praying and he's being honest. And he said, thou hast removed my soul far from peace. You know what the opposite of peace is? It's anxiety. It's like I'm in a place of constant inner turmoil where I feel like something is wrong all the time. He said, I forgot prosperity. I forgot the goodness of God. I forgot anything that is good. I forgot anything that is positive. I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Did you notice the two things that he said that I feel like are gone? And he's not just saying from the world, but from the Lord. He said, I feel like my strength, I don't have the ability to keep fighting. I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. I can't keep fighting this. I can't keep pushing. I am tired. My strength and my hope. You know what the hope is? The hope is the anticipation and the mindset that I'm going to get through this. It's going to be okay. I'll figure this out. When somebody says, we've got a plan, okay, let's work that plan, but you feel like there is no plan. It's the honesty that he's saying, my strength and my hope are perished. It's gone. Have you ever felt this way? If we're being honest, we've all been there at times. But I believe that there's some people are there right now. Our journey for the last 2.5, 3 years that we've gone through with Logan has been filled with ups and downs. And you guys know this more than anybody. You know my story because I've shared my heart. But there was times that I can tell you that I struggled. I'm not saying that I lost my faith. I'm not saying that I didn't love God. I didn't say anything, but I struggled. The situation was so extreme, and it wasn't seeming to get better, and there was no hope. They weren't saying it. At one point, they told us, they said, none of these things that we're doing, we went 2 years between surgeries, that it was just treatment after treatment after treatment. And one thing, we're like, well, do you think this will get rid of the cancer? And they turned around, and they said, you don't get it, do you? None of these treatments will ever get rid of your cancer. This we're not giving him treatments to kill the cancer. It's not that he has the type of cancer that won't go away with the treatment. So every time we went in with a scan, they said, we just push things until they don't work anymore. I know it's hard waiting for test results. It's hard waiting for a CT, PET scan, or MRI, or whatever you're waiting on. We had them every 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks for 2.5 years. So it was a constant roller coaster of things are okay, praise God, but then we're waiting to see if the treatment stopped working. Did it grow? Did it invade? Did it come back? Did it spread to some other area? So it was just a constant roller coaster. And we're getting ready in the countdown, and I could feel it in my heart. I could feel it in my head. And it wasn't even like I'm consciously trying to think about it all the time. It was just there, the idea of knowing that we had to walk into the hospital. He'd go into the CT machine, they would do the thing, and we had 20-some experiences of him laying down and waiting for the results. 20, he'd say, man, waiting for a test result is hard. Waiting for it 20-some times. It just wears on you. Having to go to the hospital, and as they would walk into the room, and I'm trying to read the doctor's face because my heart is like racing. Like, is he in a good mood? I'm like, is he about to drop a bomb on us? Does he feel good about the test? And sometimes they'd come in just like this. They'd walk in the room and just say, you guys can be okay. The test results actually look pretty good this time. But then when they come in and they're asking a bunch of questions, and I say, have you already read the scan? So you know what's going on. We'll get there in a minute. I'm like, oh. And during that time, I didn't know how much it was affecting me. I went to the dentist, and they put on the blood pressure cuff, and they said, they did it like 2-3 times and different things. Then they said, sir, this is weird for us. We don't do this very often, but your heart rate and blood pressure is so crazy right now that we're not allowed to clean your teeth. I went to the DOT to get my exam for my DOT for being a CDL driver. I failed the test because of my blood pressure. I went to the Red Cross and tried to get it. And I didn't understand at the time. And they turned me away from being able to give blood because of that. I didn't understand. I didn't know I had an issue. I didn't know how much it was affecting me. I was in this room with Connecting Point before we had it in the sanctuary. And a friend of mine came in that I'm going to introduce you to during the series that is a nurse, that is a mentor and a friend of mine. And she came up and she gave me a hug, and she literally pulled me away and she goes, you're not okay. She goes, I can physically feel your heart rate. She said, what is wrong with you? And I said, I'm trying to be, you know, it's like, you know, but it just gets to you. I had to learn how to fight back. I knew it, but not all the things that I knew that was I applying to the struggle of what was going on. And sometimes people would be like, it's okay, it's going to be all right, whatever. It's just like, you're not the one going to OSU. You're not the one waiting for test scans. You're not the one that's saying, knowing that it's not going to be okay. It's easy for other people to speak into your situation and just say, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. Well, it's not your kid. It's not your health. It's not your situation that you're dealing with. I say this because I know how it feels. I know that today I want to expose this issue, and I want to really walk you through, especially next week, of what God showed me of the application of these things, that our minds will go crazy. You guys hear me? Your mind, not necessarily your situation, but we're talking about anxiety. So let's answer the question, what is it? Because when people say, my anxiety, what is your anxiety? What is it that you're talking about? What does the Bible say about it? What is the truth about it? And I can speak from a place of not only being a pastor and a dad, but also going through this myself. And then we'll go into the battle plan for this. So this week, it's kind of different because I'm going to give you a bunch of terms and scenarios and break it down, and it won't be a traditional, typical study with this. But what is it? We label a lot of things anxiety when they're not actually anxiety. So let me give you some terms that we explain what they are. Everybody knows what stress is. It's like, we'll talk about this. Life is stressful, and being a parent can be stressful, and my job is stressful. Stress is a state of worry or mental tension caused by a difficult situation. It is the way that you feel from an outside circumstance being put into your life. So if you have a job and they say, we need this done by this time, that is pressure or stress or a weight that is put on you that is an outside thing. It's not anything that you're doing. It's not a circumstance. It is just something that you're being pushed beyond your limits. If you're in college and you're taking a final exam, you need to get a good grade. It is an outside pressure that you have. If your job is laying off or whatever, that is a pressure that's in your life. It comes from different things. Depression is a constant feeling of sadness or loss of interest. It's the idea of feeling that I've tried everything and things aren't getting better. I to live in a state of feeling defeated, or have a mindset or a feeling that you don't have the strength to keep on fighting. You feel in this deflated of your inner self, of that this is just hopeless. Fear, on the other hand, is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that something or someone is dangerous. Fear is a natural response to danger. Fear is not a bad thing. To live in a state of fear or to have a spirit of fear is not from God. But I'm telling you, fear is a natural thing. If I came in and said, there's a snake, you know, the natural thing would be to step back and be like, because we know in our minds that that is something that is dangerous. And it is a good thing. We want our kids to understand that concept of that. We teach them not to live in fear, but there's certain things that they need to be aware of. It is, I grew up in Alabama, and when we would hear the rattle of a rattlesnake, and I could tell you a bunch of stories about growing up in Alabama and working on farms and things like that, that we heard that. That was something that would kick in our brain, that we would step back, okay? That I don't need to be here. How many of you have ever been to the Hoover Dam before? Raise your hand if you've ever been to the Hoover Dam. It is crazy impressive, is it not? You just stand in awe, and then there's the bridge that goes in front of it. You can go on the bridge and look at it from different perspectives of that. We did that. We walked right on the bridge. And I can tell you that walking up to the edge of the Hoover Dam, and I grab a hold of that thing, and you do that thing kind of looking like that. At some point in that motion right there, something kicks in and says, no. You know, it's like, that is enough. You know, I've looked far enough. I'm like, whatever. And there's some people, they said that they had a story of this guy that was getting a picture, and he jumped up on the edge of it and wanted a picture, and there was a gust of wind, and he went over. And the guy said that we actually was here and experienced that happened with that. That's not going to happen to me. You know why? I'm scared to death of leaning over the edge. And so we've got to understand that fear is not necessarily a bad thing, but we don't live in a constant mindset of fear. But the question is, what is the difference between these things? Anxiety is a feeling of fear. Anxiety is feeling of dread or uneasiness. And it is different than fear. Max Lucado put it like this in his book, and we're going to actually share some of these resources with you guys. Anxiety and fear are cousins, but not twins. Fear sees a threat, anxiety imagines one. Fear screams, get out. Anxiety ponders, what if? Fear results in fight or flight. Anxiety creates doom and gloom. Yeah. Let me give you guys an example. This past week, we had some pretty intense storms that came through. You guys know what I'm talking about. They were like, shutting down schools early and doing all this, and we had the flash flooding and stuff like that. And so anxiety gets us worked up with the what ifs. It's like, okay, it could just be a storm coming in, everything could be fine. But we started thinking, what if there is hail? Oh my goodness, what if it gets my car? Do we even have insurance that covers it? Have you checked the insurance policy? Have you checked the sub pump? They're talking about flooding. What if our sub pump doesn't work? What if the basement floods? You know how expensive that would be. What is our deductible? And your mind starts running through scenarios that's not the reality of where you're living, but it's all the things that are possibilities of what could be. So when we live in that concept or the mindset or the mental thinking of the possibilities, our anxiety or the alarms start going off in our mind that something is not right based on something that is not true. There's a lot of things that could happen in life, but our minds drift, our imaginations take over. It's like wives that are in a bad mood over their husbands flirting with another girl. And then you confront your wife and said, that never happened, but I dreamed about it. Like, that's not the truth. Well, you should have never did that. I didn't do that. You know, he's just like, but our minds affect our mood. Our minds affect our emotions. It's like when your kids are coming home late and you're thinking they should have been here by now. You're thinking, I wonder if they're in a car. Did you hear a siren going off? There were sirens going off or whatever. And you're thinking, my kid's in the ditch and they're dying and I don't know where they're at. Your imagination takes over. The Bible talks about this, about our minds and our thoughts. Paul addressed the church with this. He said, casting down imaginations. You know what imaginations are? Imaginations are, is the idea of something. It is something that your mind has built up. Do you know how often our minds build up things? They're thinking that this is terrible or this is not going to go right or whatever. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You know what the knowledge of God is? Truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Anxiety is the what ifs. And God says we need to be resting on truth of what is, not what could be. He says, and bringing grabbing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when we're thinking, I'll never get married, I'll never pass that test, we'll never be able to afford a home, we'll never be able to get a new job, we'll never ever have kids, we'll never, it is those things consume our minds. It's the possibility of these things. We will say things like this, that Satan is really fighting me hard today. No, he's not. Your mind is fighting you really hard. Sometimes we blame Satan for things that he's not even involved in. He's not omnipresent. He's not God. He doesn't have the Spirit of God like God does. He's not every place at one time. Sometimes we're blaming Satan for something that's literally just our minds and our imaginations going crazy. It's human nature. It's our flesh. We battle our flesh. But let me tell you guys, we were created by God to run the race that is set before us.
Yes, we were.
We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. Do you understand that all of those things that are truth apply to our situation of anxiety? It is time that we stop coping with a lot of these issues in life. When we were created by God to thrive in life. We were not created by God to live in a constant state of alarm. It is not God's design. We short-circuit our brains that something is wrong all the time. We hear people saying things like, I really need a drink. Do you know why? Because your anxiety is so high, because you created a scenario that requires something to bring you to a situation of coping with that situation that was never real in the first place. We live in a culture today that is so strung out with the anxiety of the possibility, and I'll explain here in a minute why this is true, that the idea of smoking weed has become common practice because I need something to calm my nerves. I'm in a heightened state of feeling anxious or things are not going right because of something I created in my mind, which is not truth. And Christians are to live in the truth. We stress eat. Or we snap at people and rip their heads off. Don't get on me right now. My anxiety is really high right now. It's almost like we own it like a pet. Don't mess with my anxiety. Stop owning it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no guy walks around and says, "Don't, I've got a lust problem. Don't deal with my lust problem right now." You're not going to do that. No, nobody has that mindset of that, or I'm just filled with greed all the time. It is not coming from God, so stop making it your identity. You are a child of God. You are filled with the Spirit of God, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Put it like this. Stop saying my anxiety that I carry around. It might be your struggle, but it does not have to be your identity. It doesn't have to be your identity. You know what your identity is the fact that you are a child of God. So why is it on the rise? I hear people mention anxiety on a daily basis. I've heard kids say, "I am so stressed out." I'm like, "You're 10 years old." But I think it's become such key words that they hear it from mom and dad so often that they feel that way because they have to clean their room or they can't go outside or they're going to get their PlayStation 4 taken away or whatever. My anxiety is going crazy or whatever. And we almost program to feel that way, that something's wrong right now. No, that's life. Go clean your room. According to the National Health Institute for Mental Health, anxiety disorders are reaching an epidemic proportions. In a given year, nearly 50,000 Americans will feel the effects of panic attacks or other anxiety. You hear this even more with crowd anxiety. The idea that in their mind, if I get around them, I'm going to be called out, or I'm going to look funny, or I'm not going to blend in, or I don't know what to say, or somebody's going to talk to me, or somebody's going to look at me funny, I'm going to be rejected. And the scary thing about that is the fact that God has created us for fellowship. And during COVID, I believe that was one of those things that really messed us up. It's social distancing and staying away and Zoom calls and things. You know what we needed more than other during that time? We needed each other. Amen. Let me tell you guys, what we're doing right now is being together as a church is not just something we do to sing songs. We do it because we need each other. A lot of the things that we're doing to restructure the sanctuaries is just to bring us into an atmosphere we can be together and socialize and connect before and after service because we need each other. I'm not telling you and encouraging you to go to church just because I want you in the seat. We want you to check in. I want you here because the person next to you needs you and you need them. Amen. Church was created for fellowship. We need each other in our lives. Satan loves to create isolation because he can get you alone. He can mess with your head. If you think about it, we live in a much better culture than all the generations before us. Have you ever thought about how blessed we are in Americans where other countries just, one of the biggest things that they have to worry about during their day is getting water? Just getting water. And if they find water, they're hoping and praying to God that it's clean water. If you've never been out of the country, you might not understand this. Guys, we can brush our teeth and let the water just run while we spit in the sink. We have dishwashers that take care of things for us. We have a hose that has cleaner water that we water our grass better than the countries and the people that live around the world. We have bottled water built up. And you talk about the anxiety of the things that we deal with. The things that they're dealing with is wondering if they're going to go thirsty. When it comes to our conveniences and the things that we have and we can see a doctor now on our cell phones. We have technology that keeps us safe in our cars. Even if we go out of the lane, it beeps and tells you to get back in your lane. You talk about the modern conveniences of things to make us feel safer than we've ever had. We can look at who's at our door just from our cell phones with our cameras. I mean, the Ring doorbell and all those kind of things. It's like we don't have to live in this heightened thing of wondering. But then why is it such an elevated state of anxiety for us? Do you know the countries that don't have running water statistically have been proven that they have 1/5 of the stress and anxiety that Americans do? Why? Why have we created such an issue? How is this possible? Because we live in a crazy, fast-paced, information-filled world today. Years ago, when the Titanic sunk, there was people didn't know about it for weeks or months. They didn't have it then. It was like, did you hear about it? But it wasn't even then. I wonder what that was like. Now we have a cargo ship that can crash into the Key Bridge, and we're watching it live in seconds. We have the pictures, and then there was other ships that crashed into other bridges simultaneously, kind of there and they. And then when you start reading the news, and like, was this an attack? And they're showing the little flashes of light that could have been explosions going off. And was it Russia invading? And did you know that there were some of our military ships that were on this side? And what if? And then our minds are, everybody's scrolling and sharing and comparing and stressing and instant news. And I tell you, the news has to tell you how bad things are, even if it's not bad, because people don't care about good things. You know, my neighbor had 5 puppies. Who cares? It's like, you know, it's that nobody shares that kind of stuff anymore. Nobody cares about good news. Nobody runs around and says, hey, we had a good day at church. But they will run around and say, did you hear that? COVID is on the rise again, or it could come back, or the economy is falling. It's amazing how quickly it grabs our imaginations by looking at our phones. And we all do it. We scroll for entertainment. We compare for entertainment. It's like you come across an article that says 5 signs that you might have bladder cancer. You go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. It's like, babe, I think I have bladder cancer. I run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. And it just messes with us. No joke. I'm doing research for this message right here, and I'm watching YouTube video. You know how it comes up with a 5-second ad before you can watch the article or whatever you're trying to watch? And it came up and says, have you ever thought about what it would be like if your car ever went in the water? Would you drown or would you survive? And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, so it's like, here's how to survive if your car goes in the river. And I'm like, taking notes, you know, like... I'm like, I'm going to be the hero to my family. They're like, Daddy, how did you save us? I watched a YouTube advertisement. That's right. But that stuff gets in our heads. And we're consumed with it. Even with social media, with young people and people, it's like, well, they've already graduated. They already got a job. And I haven't even been accepted. I'm never going to be as good as that person was. I'll never get married. Look at, they're married. Man, look how happy they are. They had a beautiful wedding, or they got that new job, and I'm struggling just trying to pay my bills. I'll never add up to that. And it's all these things that mess with our mind. We live in an information not filled, overflowing society. Yeah. And negativity and things is in our face constantly around us. So what do we do? What does the Bible say about anxiety and stress and depression and fear? I want to break this passage down. And I want to give us this, and I know I just threw out a lot of information today, and I didn't really get to give you the battle plan, because that's what we're going to do. I'm like, literally, when my time is up, starting next week, we're going to hit this so hard, and I want you guys to get this, and we're going to write these things down of a battle plan that the Bible says. But he says in Philippians 4:6, and that's where we'll be next week, be careful or anxious for nothing. Now, I want you to understand, it doesn't mean for the idea that you're never going to have the feeling. It's not a matter of it's never going to come into your mind. It's the same thing as temptation. It's the Bible saying, never be tempted. You're going to go through times of temptation. But it's a matter of what you do with it. This makes it sound like I'm a horrible Christian if I struggle with this or I've ever been through this. The word careful or anxious is present active tense. It does not mean that you won't have this feeling. It literally means don't live in that feeling. Don't own it. Just say, well, this is how my day is going to go because of this. It might be present, but it doesn't have to rule your heart and mind. Here's the truth about anxiety. Number one, you are not alone. You are not alone. You're going to have those conversations when you come to church, when we hear something like this, and think that most people don't deal with this, and it's not true. If you are flesh, you are going to struggle like everybody else. Either with the fear that things aren't going to work out, or the anxiety that I think about all these, my mind just goes crazy with what I'm going to do after college or after high school. You're not the only one with this struggle. I want you to know that you're not the only one with this struggle. And I could share my heart. We're going to do those things as we go through this. But let me tell you, Elijah, after praying down fire from heaven, got a threatening message from Jezebel that you're going to die. Now, I would think, like, Elijah, you just prayed down fire from heaven, bro. Like, you should be on cloud 9. And he said he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." He said, I'm not a warrior like they were. I'm horrible. He said, "God, just do the world a favor and just let me die." David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalm 55, verse 4, he said, "My heart is sore pained within me." My heart is pained. I'm miserable. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Just the idea that I'm going to die and that I'm going to die in a horrible way. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and the horror hath overwhelmed me. Paul was sharing his heart to the church in 2 Corinthians, and he says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Now, I want to show you guys that these are the people that we look up to in the Bible. And the thing is that we don't have shirts that say these verses. Did you ever notice that? Like, "I despaired even life." It's like, you know, wearing that one around Walmart. I mean, nobody does that. We always gravitate towards the positive of the things that we want to focus on. But this was real life. You need to know that you are not alone with this struggle. You're not alone in the struggle either. I shared with you how I struggle with this, but I want you guys to look around. There's people in here that are going through what you're going through. There's people in here that have conquered and have victory over what you're going through. I've already had people come up to me this morning and said, "I know what you're speaking on, and I have struggled with that. And if you ever have somebody that needs to talk to somebody, let them know who I am and that I'd be willing to talk to them." And it's not just, and I believe that there are some people that needs to take this to the next level, and you need to talk to a counselor. There are issues going deeper than just, "I just am having a bad day," or "I have a stressful week." And I know a lot of people disagree with that. I mean, if something is sick with my heart, I'm going to go see a heart doctor. If something's sick with my mind, I want to see a doctor. And I want to know what's wrong with going on with these things. During that time, I had people speak into me and prayed over me and stood with me and called out truth to my mind. I just remember being worked up about things and different staff members, and my family would come in and just say, "Is that what they said?" "Well, no, but I read something on the internet." It's like, "Well, that's not your story." But I was living in a reality that was not my truth, and it messes with you. In this verse before, Paul speaks about be anxious for nothing. He says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." He said, let other people know the meekness and the character of God, because the Lord's hand is there. That's what he's saying through this. The Lord has an answer. Let your gentleness be known. There is hope from other people. Please know that you are not alone. Secondly, you don't have to live in a defeated state of anxiety. You don't have to live defeated by anxiety. You might battle with anxiety, but you don't have to own anxiety. Stop letting it be how you live your life. It says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't continue to live in that state of mind or thinking this way. Do you know why you can change? Because number one, that God has a plan. If you read through the rest of this passage, you're going to know through this that God has a plan. He wrote it out. The Bible goes into great detail. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Whether it's a job, whether it's marriage, whether it's anxiety from college, whether it's a relationship that you're in, or the fact that you feel just worked up over your kids not talking to you, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you say, why would that make a difference? Let me tell you, it makes a huge difference. But that's not the only thing that God said. He said there's a battle plan of going into the following verses of what he lays out. God has a plan, but let me show you this, that God made a promise. Now, I'm going to go into this next week. He said, in the peace of God, not the peace from smoking weed. I'm not talking about the peace that you're going to get from popping a pill. I'm talking about in the peace of God. Listen, which passes all understanding. You say, you just don't understand, and you don't know what I've been through. God says, I am greater than whatever just popped in your brain.
That's right.
I'm greater than that. So I don't understand how this would ever work. And I don't understand how I could ever change. And I felt this way, and my parents felt this way, and it's generational. Let me tell you, the peace of God goes beyond understanding. You said explain that. That's the whole point of it. You can't explain it. I can't put into words to tell you how it works, because God speaks to the heart of man when nobody else can speak to the heart of man. That's why he says with prayer and supplication, you go before the throne of God. You bow before him and say, I am miserable. I am tired of this. Let your request be made known unto God. You spell it out to God. I am worried about my kids. I am worried about the CT scan. I am worried about my college fund. I'm worried about my next steps. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all our understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. Do you know what God does? As God reaches down, as you pour your heart out to him, he puts his heart on your mind. He tells you, I've got this. I have this. Guard your mind from running in other directions. In the following verse, it goes into and begins to talk about, think on these things, whatsoever things are true and things like that. What are you thinking about throughout the day? And I think it's less of this and more of this. Less of the anxious thoughts and more of the peace of God. It changes it out, swaps it. He said, I'm going to cast down, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and casting down imaginations, addressing all those things that are bringing to captivity those thoughts. Because it's my thoughts that make us my anxious. It is those thoughts that run to the dark places. It's the doom and gloom that I'm thinking of, but not the reality of where I'm at. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Do you know why the Bible says weapons? Because he said, I'm going to equip you with a weapon to fight back. I want you to come in next Sunday with the mindset, I'm going to fight back. I'm not going to just let this be the norm. I'm not going to accept this as my reality. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Say, my anxiety is so bad, but your God is so good. There is a difference. Exposing the truth about this, I want you to know that there is help. Our minds will tell us that there is no help, but I want you to know that there is help in multiple ways. I want you to know when the Bible says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. He literally says, I want you to humble yourself that I can lift you up. You know what's cool is we talk about be careful or anxious for nothing. But notice this next verse. I want you to get what it's saying in this next verse. In verse 7, it says, casting all your care. Do you know why the Bible says casting all your care? Remember, it says be careful for nothing. Do you know that care is the same word? It's the same root word. Casting all your anxiety. God, my mind is thinking right now, what if, what if, what if? You're saying, I can't keep those to myself because I do have those thoughts. God says, I know you do. Give them here. I'm not telling you not to have the thought. I'm telling you to get rid of the thought. Cast your anxiety on the Lord. You know why? Because out of everybody that you have in your life, he cares for you. He cares for you. So let me put it like this. God cares about your anxious thought. God cares about your anxiety. God cares that you're stressed. God cares that you're depressed. God cares that you didn't even want to be here today, but you pushed yourself because you knew that you needed help. There is help in this room because people care about you. There is help from the God that made you. And I can promise you there's help beyond these things. Every week we're going to be sharing resources with you guys about how to take this further. Because maybe some of you need to talk to somebody. Maybe it's a Christian, a parent, or a friend. Or somebody needs to take the next step and talk to a Christian counselor. You need to get help. You need to understand that what's going on in your mind doesn't need to rule and reign. But you say, I don't know how to fix this, then get help. Don't be ashamed to reach out and get help. Because we are not meant to fight this alone.